All right, everybody, we've got this recording started. This is Tuesday, March 13th of 2012. We're continuing our Remedy support group here. This is, I believe, the third week that we've been working on this. We have divided up into specific topics we want to discuss, but we have started off here with abatements. And as y'all got in your email, we had some homework assignments to go over and read a few websites and some PDFs that were offered out there and to start the research on abatements. Hopefully y'all have had the time to read a few of those and to get up to speed on what actually an abatement is, how it's used. We hope to have Chaplain Raymond on here. Chaplain, are you out there?
Yes, I'm still eating my supper.
Well, you keep going. I don't want to stop that. I know what it's like between you and food. hold on just a minute. Does anybody want to start this off in a prayer for tonight? Okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time when we can get together to discover more about what it means to... Oh, boy. If somebody could please mute out. Somebody's going to have to mute out on their end. That's star 6. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for this time that we can get together to discover more, to learn more, to learn from each other. Thank you for all the brothers and sisters on this call. Help us to look for you, look to you for the answers. Lord, there's a lot of issues, a lot of problems in this world. Help us to do what's right. Help us to discover the truth of what it is in the direction you want us to go in. Lord, again, thank you for every single person on this call. Thank you for their ability to stand up and not just sit on their... Lord, we love you and praise you, and thank you so much for this night. I pray for health and wellness of everybody on this call. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. For those that have or had the chance this week to read over some of the information that we sent out, hello there, testing, okay, would anybody like to start off and share a little about what they found out on the abatement process?
This is Bill.
Yes, sir.
I think we should start out to find out how many people actually got to do the homework so we know where to start.
Okay.
How many people actually did get to read a lot of this and know what an abatement actually is?
We got somebody that needs to press star 6 to mute out because we're getting a lot of echo. That might be the Elder Warlick.
Chuck, this is Matt and Katie.
Hey, Matt.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
We read through all three attachments that you sent. Mm-hmm. And also, somebody mentioned Ecclesia. We went through that website and read a whole bunch of that stuff. It was really interesting. And have scoured the Book of Records somewhat, just kind of looked at it.
That Ecclesia, did you discover if that was the same thing as the Book of Hundreds, the abatement handbook at the very end of that, or did you get that far?
A lot of the verbiage is the same, and it may have come from that, but it's not set up the same way as the Book of Records.
Okay.
It's really informative, really, but it's really based on biblical law, I think, more than some of the other stuff.
Okay. Who else was able to read?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Silas from Chicago. I did read most of that. It was in PDF. I normally use Word and have it so that my computer can read it to me. And I was wondering if there's a way to unlock the PDF.
Oh, that Book of Hundreds?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I didn't have a way because I tried to unlock it myself because I wanted to copy or highlight some of the stuff. But you, yeah, and if I highlighted it, it wouldn't let me actually copy the text, which I was hoping it would. Now, I think you can optimize the scan. No, it wouldn't even let me do that.
Right. Does someone have the ability to unlock it?
No, because we got this from another website. Unless we found out who was in charge of that, then yes. But that Ecclesia.computer.
If you ask your computer that question, it usually gives you an answer how to do it. All you have to do is type in a question to it about it, and it should pull it up for you.
How to unlock this?
Yeah. You can ask a computer anything, and it'll give you an answer. I've done it before, and it pulls up answers and gives me how to do.
Okay. Well, the non-dur to me was very informative, you know, how they have hidden so much. A lot of people that want to be free men and want to be sovereign, and they focus on capitalization of the name.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're missing this point in that this is a war name. And when it's approached with that understanding, it changes the whole picture to me, the demandant and the defendant. And so it just puts so much in the proper format. And then to understand how the Christian name has such a great impact on it. So for this to be taught, I'm trying to turn my computer off, to be taught in this vein would be great. I mean, everybody needs to know this.
I agree. Now, the website that was mentioned, ecclesia.org, you might be able to copy some of off of that website.
How is that spelled?
Let's see, it's ECCLESIA.org, and it's /truth/abatement.html.
HTML.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
Chuck, this is Matt. Just want to warn everybody on that ecclesia.org, if you just use that without the slash and the other information you just gave us, it won't get you to that information.
Okay, so you have to have the /truth/abatement in there?
Correct. And then you can scout the whole site if you want
to.
Okay.
All right.
So can you get that over the way it's supposed to be, please?
Sure. It's www.ecclesia.org/truth/abatement.html. Sure. Would anybody else like to say some words about what you've read before we get in, let Chaplain Raymond give us a little information on abatements?
I read the abatements. That's as far as I got, was able to. It's interesting, but I don't understand how you can get them into your court. You know, how staying out of their court means don't get in trouble, right? So you don't be brought into their court. Is that correct?
Well, this is not something that you want to put in their court anyway. Yeah, this is a just to the individuals.
If you put this into their court, you might as well not even try to use it.
Right, I understand that, but how do you stay out of their court?
If they file charges against you, you follow the instructions in this and file the abatement following this procedure to the individual that came against you, not the court.
You end up with a default judgment and then he'll dish it against them.
Now, isn't there only two laws that we are held to by rights of the Constitution and God's law, that one is we don't hurt somebody and we don't destroy someone's property?
You will. I think when you get deeper into this abatement, you'll find out that the abatement really doesn't follow the Constitution. It follows God's law.
Okay.
Don't forget, the Constitution is man's law.
Yeah.
This is Timothy.
Yes, Timothy. Yes.
I think maybe we should start with the letter of appointment.
The what?
Because when you're talking about filing, you're talking about filing, like, in the clerk's office or in the court, but from what I understand, it has to be served to, you know, the parties that are acting against you directly by two people or three. And then when...
Can you give an example?
An example, what do you mean, like, of the letter of appointment?
No,
well,
of,
basically, what you're doing is you're
filed to the person who has brought against you, right?
Well, the
like
judges,
who?
The sheriffs.
Okay.
Okay, there's a lot of hearsay here. There's an abatement process was one of the PDF documents, and it specifically spells out the answers to all those questions. Can you get that up on your computer and look at it?
Okay.
And it goes through the abatement process line by line, explains why you do everything you do. So it's a real good nutshell.
Okay.
And it's, the title is Abatement of Judicial Process. Chuck, did that come out of the Book of Hundreds?
I'm not sure if that came out of there. I haven't gotten to that point to see, but I was told that it possibly came from the Book of Hundreds.
If we were going to follow an outline, that would be an ideal one to follow.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the Book of Hundreds. And it's page 238, newest sample abatement.
Okay. Yes. Is that the bottom of the page? Is that 238 on the bottom of the page, or is that... See, mine says 236.
I'm going back to it. Hold on.
Okay. There are examples in the Book of Hundreds. But the previous email that I sent out, I guess it was from the week before, had the examples, three examples, and the process. And that's what was just shared a minute ago. Does anybody else have any other comments before we get Chaplain Raymond on here? Okay, Chaplain Raymond, have you finished your salad?
Yes, but I'm still muted.
No, you're unmuted now.
I'm unmuted.
Yeah.
Oh.
You have the floor.
Uh-oh. John 49522.
I wonder if this is time machine.
John 49522, please unmute out. I'll have to mute you out, John. All right.
That's weird. Every time I get on, I have that happen.
Huh. It's J-O-N 49522. I had to mute you out. I'll unmute you, and if you'd just please mute yourself. All right, Chaplain, you're on.
Well, I feel a little bit like hind tip. I wasn't here for the other sessions, and I've been trying to think about this in general so that you can understand principally why these work. However, I really need to caution all of you. And I really don't want to destroy your good feeling for what I'm about to say. But we've not had an abatement work yet. In every case, after the default judgment, they proceeded anyway. So it's not the abatement exactly. Failure to do the abatement and do it properly is guaranteed failure. So once you do the abatement, get it, you're only halfway there. I need you to understand that. The attitude with the state of, or the status of the de facto system is, I think that they know that it's getting short, the time is short, and so they are just going to proceed on. Okay, so you do the abatement. They do not speak because they can't, and you get your default judgment. Now, what is interesting here, it is very important that you understand these principles I'm going to cover. I'm going to cover them as the fact of life. the way things are. When, if you look and study the authority of law, you will find there's a difference between cause of action and then charges. If in a proceeding they've been able to reach the charge stage, they have taken jurisdiction. You may or may not have granted it. But they have taken jurisdiction if you answer a charge. Now, the cause of action is a different story. It's at the cause of action that questions of subject matter jurisdiction arise. What you must do is, before they do anything in their proceeding that gets to the charge stage, you do the abatement on their papers. But abatements themselves are not a challenge to their jurisdiction. They are merely a good faith attempt to correct the errors in the process. Clear up the errors, Judge, and I will appear. You must understand that that's what you're doing. You're not challenging their jurisdiction whatsoever. So what I was just saying is, attempting, you know, in order to succeed, you must challenge their jurisdiction before they get to the charge stage. Then now I'm telling you that you're not even challenging their jurisdiction. But what it is you are producing and doing it in a manner from a superior court. Many of the things you're going to be reading and studying in all of these websites and all around, you're not going to get the real significance of what's taking place. Now, I'll attempt to explain it here, but I really, truly, if you don't thoroughly understand this, do not say you do. But what is happening is, it is the fact that the founding fathers created a supreme jurisdiction that remained in the hands of the people. And you are preparing your abatement in that jurisdiction. So it's much more complicated than just when you read these documents about an abatement as a procedure. You are combining the fact that you have a superior position utilizing this standard procedure to get the errors corrected in their jurisdiction. Okay? Now, the average citizen can do an abatement and ask him to clear up the errors. But in the emergency powers and martial law and state of things, he doesn't have to. If it was the constitutional system, he would be obligated to clear up the errors. But he's not. So what's taking place here? The superior court is ordering in the abatement, do not fail to understand the importance of the ordering clause in your abatements that we use. You are ordering them to clear up the errors. And after issuing the order from a superior court, you say, now that I've told you the errors and what you need to do to fix them up, we will now go silent. Because the rule is, anything that a judge writes that is not a judgment is an order. So, unless you're going to issue another order, you're going to remain silent. Now, you've got to master what I'm telling you. It's more than an abatement. So be careful of picking up all the bits and pieces and the goodies that you're going to find in all these websites. Don't go experimenting with them. You are going to issue the order that tells him what he needs to do to clear up the errors in and for the sovereign soul on the dry land. Being that their court is inferior and is not only not a constitutional court, but a corporation, an admiralty and commercial court, where common law and equity are merged, the order tells them what they must do to clear up the errors. Let's review those. One is they must come to you with a properly verified complaint from someone in a judicial officer status. The sheriff can do it. You go get a sheriff's case number and put it on the complaint. That's one. Number two, produce the damaged party or the damaged goods, property. And the third one is use our system of service. Do not use TX, zip codes, and the mail. You can use registered post. You know, mail is the covering, not the content. Not the first-class letter. First-class matter, it's called. They can open the covering, but they cannot open and read first-class matter. If you want to put that on an envelope, it's perfectly lawful to do so. First-class matter is not something anyone can open without violating your rights. Without your permission, other than the one you sent it to. Now, do you see that is in the order that's in your abatement, which is your court document, the superior court document that goes. Am I losing people or something here? But when it goes to the other court. Now, because of the order that you have given them from a superior court, if they really had a valid charge or a valid subject matter jurisdiction in the common law jurisdiction, they should be able to perfect whatever it is they had, their papers, okay, and come into your jurisdiction and do it. However, the corporate commercial crimes that we're normally confronted with, driving and tax taxes, the Internal Revenue, all of those things are not the kind of complaints that you can bring into that jurisdiction given the code that they have to operate on. So their safest bet to not incur liability is to do nothing with regard to your abatement or your orders that are in the abatement. Incidentally, part of your order is to tell them that if they fail to speak, you will be preparing and issuing a default judgment for lack of speaking or nihil dicit, all right, in this matter. Well, given that for their own protection and not to incur any liability of their own personally, they remain silent. Do not fail to issue the default judgment and do it all properly. Do not be surprised when they ignore it, because so far they've ignored everyone we did for a while. Now, if you read in here, you'll read a thing called res judicata. I've got to find it here. I'm sorry to be scrolling to look for it. But when the default is issued and delivered and served on them, that matter is now res judicata. It cannot be reversed. Article 5 of the Bill of Rights prevents them from reversing it. However, the way they're trained this day and age, they ignore it. Now, typically, you know they ignored it when another piece of paper comes.
Chaplain Raymond, res judicata is on page 185.
I'm looking at the shorthand version.
Okay.
If you want to bring that up, it's all very concise and complete in the 30-page one.
Okay. And it's in the section that says what non-statutory abatements do, if that's the same as yours.
Read what you got.
This says abatements have the force and effect of an indictment and or an at-law case or suit when used against current international martial rule courts. When the defendant doesn't answer and with default properly written and served, the case becomes res judicata, i.e. final judgment has been made.
All right, but now, a lot of that is talking and dealing with it as if you're in a full-fledged proper judicial system. Now, the way to think about it, abatements that go unanswered with a default filed, a res judicata, and the default is a final judgment, and the issue cannot be retried without violating Article 5 of the Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution. Now, they didn't teach these guys this. The abatement didn't work. They proceeded to go on. Now, we need to learn something else. Back in the 80s, 70s, we would learn this sort of thing, and the first guy to do it, it would work. second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and so on ad infinitum. It didn't work. And the reason was they had written a new little rule that said, oh, that first time was a mistake. We're such a big government, and we're so busy, we overlooked it. We were going to answer, and we didn't. And they get a judge to say, no, it was a good faith error. And they have a right to fix it. So the moment they send you a new piece of paper that shows that they ignored the default judgment, you prepare a second abatement on that piece of paper and issue another court order from a superior court to get it corrected. Granting them, in effect, not by saying so, but in effect, you're saying, good faith mistake, all right, now I'll do it again. You get 30 more days. I've given you another abatement. It does the same thing. Go get a sheriff's number or get a judge to sign this in our system. Bring the damaged party or property. Show us where it is and what. And properly serve it. Don't use these tricks with regard to the zip code and federal areas. When they don't, you file a second default judgment nihil dist. With the second one in place, they can no longer rely on good faith error. Have you got it? Following me so far? Now, typically, when they're ignoring these things, they haven't learned, what will happen is they'll send you another piece of paper, which indicated they are violating Article 5, Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution again. This time, you have the two instances. You must take it to a trial by jury. A good 12 men tried and true, and get it to issue the order and nullify where they are going with it. I yield the floor.
Does anybody have any questions or like to add to the information?
I do. If we are going to file a second one, is that going to bring us closer to achieving dismissal of this crime or whatever?
You are only achieving what the order commands. There's no hidden things around this thing. Your abatement gives them an order. Okay? Two things can happen. They'll obey it or they won't. If they don't, then you do the default.
And you do the what?
The abatement is a two-step process. These that we're doing from your superior court are a two-step process. Included in the initial abatement is the notice that you intend to file a default judgment and the matter will be closed if they fail to speak.
You're saying that they will fail to speak because they can't answer.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
if you look at
I'm sorry. I was visualizing. Understand, when they send you another piece of paper afterwards, they're speaking again. And I was addressing that failing to speak.
Okay, okay.
They did not obey your order.
Right. So that's when you sent the default judgment, and then they turned around and sent you another letter, then basically at that point answering or replying.
Well, it's obvious that they're dishonoring the default.
Right.
Now, understand, the word judgment is in this thing. A default judgment, nihil dicit, in commercial courts is an extremely powerful judgment. The way I was taught it, I was taught it in terms of a simple commercial thing. If somebody sends you a bill, then you answer it by saying, okay, I'm not going to dishonor it, but I'm willing to ask for a proof of claim.
Which is,
remember,
what
the abatement is not dishonoring their jurisdiction. Don't assume that that's what you're doing. You're not dishonoring their jurisdiction. You're just asking them to correct the errors.
Right.
And if the errors are due to a conflict involves two different jurisdictions, you're in one place, they're in another. They're on the glass, you're down here on the land. Now, when they get the default judgment, they just look at it and maybe even throw it in the trash can.
And toss it to the side.
Okay?
All right.
Now, let me assure you, they wait the 30 days to see what you're going to do. I'll bet you. You forget to file the default, they'll be on you.
And you
okay?
need to get that in the abatement that you are going to file a default in, within a certain period of time, or is that just a common rule?
Read the order.
Okay. Sorry.
Read the judge's order that goes to the inferior court. That's all that's there. That's what you deal with, no more, no less.
Gotcha.
Now, what I thought you were saying is, after they didn't answer your abatement, they did answer you with another citation or another step or ask for the money again or whatever. Now, what I was telling you was, in the commercial world, a legitimate creditor who is asked to produce a claim, proof of claim, with a given amount of time, if he fails to do so and it was a legitimate debt, one where people owed him money, and he neglected, he forgot, he just ignored it, did whatever, and the debtor issued properly a default judgment nihil dicit. If you take that into court to try to force him to pay, the judge will tell you, you have no standing, you failed to speak. They can't tamper with the definition of a default judgment nihil dicit. That's long-standing settled law. That's why we're saying it's res judicata. It's done. The moment they do something that ignores the fact that it's res judicata, they're making errors. for God's sakes, don't go into their court and file that they made an error. You did it wrong. It's, yes, they're treating you badly. But let's remember the good faith mistake doctrine. Send them another abatement, same order, same everything related to this set of papers. Say, I've got these papers from you, and they're in error. You got 30 days to fix them. Then after that one, if they send you another document, that means they've dishonored it twice. Now, that is evidence in paper. These are facts in evidence. These are facts on the record. All you have to do is do a good job of keeping your paper straight and keeping them in good order and having them available. And so then when you go to the grand jury or a jury of your peers for a trial by jury, you have all of the evidence in the record. And you can establish that they dishonored two default judgments, nihil dis. It's a no contest decision for the jury to nullify anything they've done essentially after the first one. If, in fact, they've reached a final judgment in whatever they're doing and have closed the case, you just nullify the overall final judgment. Because your final judgment in this matter came first. Only though this time you do it with the power of the trial by jury. And typically these things will be on something that's worth more than $20. So the Seventh Amendment comes in. And it says it cannot be even repealed or reviewed. The fifth one says it can't be retried. The seventh one says it cannot be reviewed or appealed except by the rules of the common law. Well, their commercial court has no way to do that. Because it means another jury. On the land. And then you can only look for errors. It's not retrying the case. Does that cover it? Is that losing anybody?
Making more sense.
I didn't hear what he said.
He said it's making more sense. I think what we've got to do, what a number of us need to do, is read over the information that's out there, because the basics of an abatement you need to have that down. You need to understand what you're doing before you even touch this. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, make sure you have a piece of their paper in your hand. Don't go to something like Pacer and print it off. Make sure they've delivered it to you and it's been brought to you. Their mail may bring it to you.
Mm-hmm. Or an officer may hand it to you.
Yes.
Chaplain, you just lost me. What do you mean? Why wouldn't I be a piece of their paper?
Why wouldn't you what?
Well, of course, if we're going to get something in the mail or some such. What do you mean? That they're Pacer. What's Pacer?
That's the internet-based record of their trial. You can get in there and get see what they've done, but if they haven't served you, it isn't effective yet. So don't use anything that's in there that's not been served.
You can't abate something that's not been served to you.
It's a setup. You can know enough about these systems to know too much and get yourself in trouble. Never let anybody give you something off Pacer and use that. Oh, it must be served to you before you respond to it.
Served as far as the sheriff, someone in the sheriff department, correct?
No, they might do it improperly and send a U.S. Marshal.
Did you say improperly?
Yeah, how'd they get in the county?
Mm-hmm. Out of jurisdiction.
The silver bullet is really knowing the principle and dealing with the defects that occur. It is fatal for them to proceed after they get a default judgment. Now, I'm hoping it'll come to the day where they get the default judgment and just disappear, which is what they should do, instead of proceeding. Is this too complicated to understand what I just said?
Chaplain, I think when you talked about they know their time is short, and therefore they're ignoring some of these things, is that really a good explanation of why they're things? I mean, do they really think their time is short?
When I say they, I'm talking about a very few. I'm not talking about a lot of them. Let me put it this way. Either their time's short or ours is.
Chaplain, are you talking about the de facto as a whole? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about this court system, the inferior courts. This is a superior court problem with an inferior court. When we're doing this, it really is a conflict of laws situation. It's a struggle. You know, it's a trial of its own. We're coming from one place and set of laws, and they're sitting over there in another place with another set of laws. And it's not laws, with codes, which are not laws for somebody who's on the land. So when they issue a speeding ticket or anything like that to one of us, it is their presumed jurisdiction, and it's not. So you say, please correct your mistake. Now, they don't know. We, those of us who have been in a long time, you got me into this. I might as well go further. We have a theory. That when those of us who have been in a long time, we think that they keep a little scorebook and they say, well, we don't know how much this man knows. Let's do this. And depending upon how you respond, they know how much you know. And the next thing you know, you're being slammed up. And most of the time, it's because you get involved in their jurisdiction where they have total power to decide what they want to do with you. They want to make a poster boy out of you, they can. They want to be nice to you, they can. Okay, when they don't know, the trick is to do it in such a way that they need to go further themselves to find out how much you know. When the abatement shows up, I know it says you're going to do a default. Well, they wait. You wait. They don't do anything for 30 days. I mean, you're kind of, they know this. You do the default. Now, they say, well, let's see how much he knows. And they'll send you another piece of paper. That's how we learned about good faith mistake. We presumed everything had gone the way the law said it would.
Chaplain, may I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my name is Osoya. Somebody said earlier about, you know, the Constitution was created by man. The Constitution itself was based upon the Holy Scripture. What they call God's law, and those who know the Hebrew say Torah. And if you look up in the Greek, the word scripture means holy writ. And if we was to go back and use what our Father given us in the beginning, the scripture, which is a writ, why do you choose to use an abatement when you can use a writ? You know, they have different forms of writ, what they call a writ of error. And you were saying with the abatement, you were asking them to correct the situation, the error. And that's what a writ of order does, like a writ of habeas corpus. It has the supremacy. So why choose to use abatement, which is a form where man has created, well, you can use the Holy Scripture, because the word scripture means writ in Greek.
There's a writ of error. Do it without dishonor.
Well, from what I've been looking in, defining in the law book, it has a supremacy.
That's
just like what
I'm
read up.
Saying, does it do it without dishonor?
I really didn't look in the depth to see what it would, because it deals with flesh and blood instead of what the legality would, like what a writ of an habeas corpus.
What does the Lord's Prayer say?
Say it again.
What does the Lord's Prayer say?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as is in heaven. How far you may keep going?
Yeah.
You may keep going?
Yes.
Okay, now I got to start all over again.
Now give us.
Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, you know,
our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Let's stop right there.
Okay.
Now, an abatement that does this without dishonor is obeying that command.
Okay. A writ itself, knowing what a writ is the word scripture. you know. And you know, and our president, a former president back in 1983, Ronald Reagan, he made it federal law as the Bible as holy scripture. He said it needs no amendment. You know, you don't have to add to it. They recognize, all our founding fathers recognized the Bible as the foundation. And
okay.
And that's one of the things, because when I was doing some research, a writ is a form of an order.
That's what I'm saying. The abatement is an order from a judge. You can petition for a writ, but you're assuming that. Have you listened to any of our courses?
Has I listened to any of your courses?
Yeah, on Republic Keepers.
Yeah, I've read most of everything on there. Got all the common laws facts. And,
now, have you studied life, liberty, and property?
Life, liberty, and property. In what aspect of it?
It's a course.
Uh-huh. No, I haven't.
If you study that course, you'll see why we say the Constitution is not repugnant to the Bible.
Okay.
In the introduction, I'm sorry. Go ahead. In the introduction, the Abatement Handbook and the Book of Hundreds, in the introduction it says, after years of study and the origins of true common law, we know its roots are Christian. For us, it is simply God's law extended and applied by Christians in England and America, and it will take Christian men and women today to provide godly system that will once again put the church on the march. An abatement is a recognized procedure in jurisprudence. It comes out of the English common law before it was merged with commercial law, which was based upon Scripture and derived from Scripture. It's basically God's law applied.
And what you must do is understand that you just can't throw the Bible out on the table and say, that's my law. Now, and take a verse out of context. Just one little verse. Now, the Bible has to do with your redemption and your salvation. And it tells you how to live and treat one another. The maxims of law are the results of centuries of dispute resolution. Man has been having problems with other men from the very beginning. We have, you know, even Cain had a problem with Abel. When over all those years, there has evolved that which is that simplified case by case, situation by situation, event by event refinement of what's in the Bible. Let me give an example. If you fail to defend the rights of another when someone is trespassing on them, you will lose your rights. Now, you don't find that precisely that way in the Bible, do you?
No.
yet it's a very explicit statement about doing what's right. So what I'm telling you is the Bible, if you're looking to substitute that which the Constitution relies on, I will tell you this way. If you look at Boyd versus the United States, okay, June of last year, Justice Ginsburg issued, made a decision. Now, the whole court case was done with a unanimous Supreme Court decision, but Ginsburg wrote up a piece, and when she got went down at the bottom near the end, she referenced a thing called fundamental laws of the land and due process law. There's a whole body of law out there called lex non scripta, which is short, which is got a shorthand name, fundamental laws of the land. And then the procedures are due process of law. And that gets into the juries and juries of your peers. Okay, life, liberty, and property. And how it's yours. And how it's that yours. And the reason we have laws that reflect on life, liberty, and property are because God said, do not steal. Which said, well, then men have a right to things. If taking them from me is a crime in God's eyes, in fact, it's a sin, then it's mine. We have the notion that property belongs to the individual. Okay? The principal three pieces of property that were used over those centuries, it kept getting refined and refined and refined over the disputes, over the kings usurping, governments taking power when they shouldn't, many, 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 many different times. And when they got back to the maxims, they realized they were talking about people being having a right to their life, a right to their liberty, and right to their property. And that it was the combined right of all of them to come together to protect each other's rights. In our little system here in Texas, you sign the First Estate Compact in which you pledge to come to the defense of every other man that signed that compact if anyone ever comes against them. Now, I want you to understand the distinction of what that does. And you tell me if this is not biblical. When you say the whole group comes to the defense of one man, I want you to think in terms of what the socialists and the progressives and the other people saying. No, no, no. The one man's got to sacrifice. What? There lies the essence of the difference. When one man has got to sacrifice for the good of the group, the other one says, no, the group will come to the defense of one. I refer to that as the majority of one. We operate with the majority of one. Those things are protected and taken care of in the lex non scripta, which includes the Magna Carta, all of the things coming up to the Magna Carta and everything after that, Bill of Rights, I mean the Declaration of Independence. those things are built. Now, when you study the authority of law class, you will really get a sense then of what this is about. Because it's a chain of authority. If you're talking about defending life, liberty, and property, you're going to be, you have to have the authority there to begin with to do something. Then that becomes the authority to do something subsequent to that. Now, I use the word precedent so that it don't get called precedence, because the word precedence is abused today. So there, these precedents take you all the way back to the Bible directly. And you can't say they're not there and say, I'm going to put the Bible in right here. Well, there's no need. You destroy the foundation of our authority of law, which has built this system in which we have the individual right to life, liberty, and property in a lawfully defined, defensible, and juridical manner. Only with the proper authority of the law can they make a new law. Anytime Congress writes a law, it must conform to the fundamental laws of the land. Period. Now, they have, for the last 70 years, they've ignored that almost entirely. That's almost like ignoring our default judgment in the abatement. But as far as having a defense to know that you're dealing with religion, let me tell you something. Many, many men have died to put in place the authority of law that enforces precisely what you think is missing. The difference is the system we have out there doesn't honor it. But it's there. And it had to be there for them to remain. There's a whole discussion having to do with re-inhabitation and vacancy and vacuous. They did not take our government down. They just took the people out of the seats. It was sitting there. It was now an empty room with empty seats. So in 2010, we walked back in, stood by the seat, raised a right hand, took the oaths of office, and sat in it. The chair was still there because they could not, because of the authority of law requirements, dispose of it. Now, it's as if they're trying to do it by getting people to acquiesce. And it's now, they're trying to convert it into a political issue and get people to vote it one way or the other. Well, in Boyd versus the United States, it said, Congress cannot write a law that adds to or creates a new power or adds to the power that has been delegated. They cannot, and they cannot do it by agreeing to a treaty. A treaty cannot be used to add to Congress's power. This was a unanimous decision. It says the Supremacy Clause states that it's only supreme in the limited powers they have. If you study life, liberty, and property, let me just read one one page here for you, one paragraph. Bear with me. I'll read you two paragraphs. But the doctrine of parliamentary supremacy was reasserted in 1871 in the case of Lee v. Butte, etc. Railway. Ever since this decision, the doctrine of legislation over the law of the land had been followed in England, though it was based on an unfounded legal precedent. Generally, in England, the meaning of the law of the land had never been extended to the point of controlling legislation. Now, this is going to compare England to America. And this is an important distinction to remember, because someone will say to you, our common law is not the same as England. You're right. You're absolutely correct. Let me give you the difference. But it should be noted that in the England, the phrase due process of law has received practically no judicial construction in litigated cases. It thus appears the doctrine of parliamentary supremacy existed merely by fiat. The idea that government is superior to fundamental law and such law is changeable and repealable has only been maintained during the course of governmental tyranny or usurpation. The doctrine is not sound, nor was it part of the English Constitution. The truth of the supremacy of the law of the land over government was to be resolved and acknowledged not in England, but in America. The Revolutionary War, I'm speaking now, I'm not reading. The Revolutionary War in America settled this once and for all. The fundamental law of the land is supreme. And that's why the court on the land of the sovereign soul is superior. You do not want to monkey with the authority of law preachers that puts that in place. Did I make my case?
Yes, you have. Yeah.
It doesn't defeat what you want to do, but it really gives us a place to stand and speak. Was that, did anybody get confused by that?
You did a wonderful job.
Well, let me point out that it is that superior court which is writing the abatement and issuing the order and prepares the default, which they ignore. Now, what is the Christian way to handle that default when they disobey it? Should we go get somebody and go arrest them? Do we take the military and go attack them? We said we were going to treat it with dishonor, without dishonor, excuse me. Why do we want to really dishonor these people? Do we not want them to go back to the valid way of doing things? Must we punish them because they don't do things our way? If we're going to implement the Bible, is that not what we should be doing? So when we get to thinking we need to go out there and we need to punish them because they're not doing things right, I wonder. I wonder. Tell
Granddaddy I'm using the device. Our goal is to have them keep the law.
My ears are not that good. You have to speak a little louder.
Our goal is to, for all of them, or to compel the provisional governments to keep the law, I guess.
I get down to particulars. The reason they're sending you the papers they are is because they've taught every employee of the government to work on one presumption. And that is that everybody they see is a U.S. citizen and subject to their code. That's why they just go ahead and do it. Now, in the 30s, that wasn't true. My grandfather was a sovereign soul on the dry land his whole life. And they said, well, let's get you some money here. Let's go down and get a Social Security card. And he says, I will not. I can't imagine what I'm trading for that because nobody will give me something for nothing. So I had the benefit of seeing people who lived in the other system. It's a shame. Now, he was born at the end of the 1870s. But if we are going to be righteous believers and disciples of our Lord, why would I be wanting to do things? You know, has anybody ever wondered why that in the Bible, why Jesus washed the disciples' feet? And then I saw a commentary about it. It says, well, it was to show that rank and privilege was not a basis for superiority, but it was to show that it was there for service. You have to excuse me a moment. Look.
Well, for anybody that doesn't know already, we do have the Life, Liberty, and Property course on republickeepers.org, and that is, I believe, 20-something lessons that include audio and also the pages which you can print out and follow along on each lesson. It's an excellent book. It's by Charles A. Wiseman, and it's we recommend it to everybody. Again, that's on republickeepers.org, and if you go under the Education tab there and click Life, Liberty, and Property, you can even find the ISBN number for that book and where to get it. So, let me see. There's approximately 17 lessons on there. So,
okay.
I was just telling them about Life, Liberty, and Property on Republic Keepers.
Yes. Well, believe me that the authority of law, life, liberty, and property, and those teachings, and then the one on the jury itself, are really the foundation for comprehending. Now, it's when you understand why, it's the combination. The abatement is a procedure, number one. Number two, it is a conflict of laws, common law and that corporate commercial law. that it is the supreme law of the land that you're functioning under, and that's the basis for the orders in the abatement that you're using. The abatement happens to be the vehicle. You have to have proper standing to make it work. You know, it's your driver's license are being on the land and being sovereign soul, so to speak. If you don't have that standing, now they are going to, this is new to them, I'm sure, many of them. But the default judgment is, it should be over. The first time they receive the default judgment. Because you're asking them to dismiss the cause of action. Not the charges. Do not make that mistake. Your default judgment is telling them, because they feel to speak, they must dismiss this cause of action. And it's an order from a superior court. And they, not knowing, having not been taught, disobey that order.
Okay, just to repeat what you said, an abatement is a procedure. It's a conflict of laws. It's the supreme law of the land. And it's an order from a superior court.
No. Let me try again. It's a procedure whether it's the supreme law of the land or not.
Okay.
It is a process for correcting errors. A U.S. citizen could attempt it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they sent you something that wasn't correct, were they relying on information that was wrong? The abatement is designed to correct errors made at the outset. Okay?
All right.
The abatement is not something that, given its function by the fundamental law of the land. You must get this picture that the abatement is the vehicle. It's what we get in to ride over there. We are in the common law jurisdiction on the land. They are in the commercial jurisdiction in the District of Columbia. We're on the land in Texas. We don't use their laws in our place. They don't use our laws in their place. Since we are not subject to their laws, when they give us papers that presume that we are, we use the abatement as the vehicle, but we do it in our jurisdiction. We use our superior court, and we use our judge writing an order and telling him, well, if they don't, if theirs are, you know, wrong and they can't fix them, we will be sending a default judgment nihil disc. It becomes res judicata. You know, the abatement is the vehicle.
Okay.
It's like a ballpoint pen.
It's a process for correcting errors.
Yes. Without dishonor. It's a common law process, but it is permitted in their procedures.
And it's an order from a superior court.
It's prepared by a superior court. okay? When you read the abatement we use, it is an order from a superior court. There's an ordering clause. Is there not?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions right now? It's becoming, it's at a quarter till nine. We're not going to, these calls will try to keep at 2 hours or less. And we don't want to suck up so much time of Chaplain Raymond here. But any questions or comments right now?
Just a quick question for Chaplain. Are you there, Chaplain?
Yes.
Do I understand that Leon Panetta, I think he's Secretary of Defense, he said that the Obama regime does not have to pay attention to Congress, that the Defense Department can act under the UN treaty. Does that go against what you were telling us a few minutes ago?
Yes.
I rest my case.
Yes, on the United States, they have been anticipating that, they, you know, they had seen this going on, where the executive branch was totally usurping the sovereignty of the even the Congress. What few pieces of sovereignty the people had given them was being ignored. It's, I'm sure it's got some people upset.
Oh, boy.
And, that information came to me down some very special channels. Mm. The, but I do want to make sure that you don't, It is a system. Right now, we have to take a third step. We get the second default judgment and then go to the jury because we have the sufficient documentary evidence to go for a declaratory judgment and get whatever they're doing over in that system nullified because it is an inferior court. So, yes, the whole thing works, but you can't stop in the middle.
Did I understand you just then to say that it's necessary to have two
you understand they're doing things wrong, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, right.
So we're not talking about hard and fast rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about problem solving.
Right.
If they don't think you know about good faith errors, they'll use it on you. Well, that's the way they find out. They dishonor the first default judgment from the abatement. You give you another piece of paper.
Right.
So you say, well, then I'll just get another default judgment. Now I got two. There's no doubt when you go before a grand jury or a trial by jury that this was intentional.
Okay.
Is that
sure
too sophisticated, you know, to the strategist out there? If you like strategy games, you know, this is what it's doing. It's chess game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, theoretically, they should honor the very first default judgment.
Sure.
And dismiss the cause of action. Throw out that citation for speeding. Not send you any more tax bills. The first, under the law, the first one should work. Now, you understand, they've made some horrendous errors. They are, you know, if you were a vicious, unrighteous, mean, vengeful man, you could cause a lot of people a lot of hurt. But it would take a lot of money. And some of the lawyers would love it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not so sure that's what we want here.
Right.
We could get tied up forever just taking care of those things. What I want them to do is to make the other presumption. When you stop somebody in a car for speeding, presume he's a sovereign first.
Mm-hmm.
Don't write the citation unless he's a U.S. citizen.
Excuse me, but could you say that again? Unless he's what? Don't write the citation unless he's what?
A U.S. citizen.
There is a difference.
Under their laws.
It's U.S. citizen versus sovereign soul on a dry land. But presume when you stop that they're a sovereign first and check and see if they're in the, a U.S. citizen. Write the citation if they are.
A sovereign soul on the dry land exists under the common law. The U.S. citizen is a member of the, an employee of the United States of America Corporation.
Okay.
Lawyer talk.
Oh, my goodness. If there's people that don't understand that, what is the diagram, Chuck, of the two U.S. maps?
Let's see. We do have it. It's under Republic Keepers. And if you just scroll down, you can see it there. You might have to go to the next page, but there's a first estate. I'm sorry, two constitutions, two domiciles. Image. It's on page 2 of that home page, all the way at the bottom.
Study it closely.
That'll help you get a mental picture of what we're saying. Assume we're down there on the land first. The way they do it now is they assume you're a U.S. citizen up on the glass.
There are two pictures.
Then we
got to
send an abatement.
Can you please explain what you mean on the glass?
I'm going to put that on the home page. You'll be able to look at it, and hopefully that'll help explain it a lot better. Something to follow along.
The glass is at the top of the ladder. When you look at the picture, look for the ladder. The glass is that image at the top of the ladder. The land is at the bottom of the ladder. Two jurisdictions, two constitutions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, everybody. We've had a lot of information tonight to digest. This call is about learning to self-govern, which includes doing our homework. We do already have a lot of homework out there as far as reading up about what abatements are, reading this Book of Hundreds, also the other information that was sent out, plus there's a lot on republickeepers.org. If y'all aren't willing to do the homework, then what's the use of continuing? Because in common law, you can't get, or other people can't do things for you. You have to learn and do it yourself. So this is not a sit on the couch kind of deal.
Charles?
Yes.
May I interrupt? Would you consider prioritizing the homework at the top of the page, the homework for the first grader, that and the next priority for the second grader, and so on and so forth. You get my drift?
Well, as far as this self-governance Tuesday night, or whatever we finally decide on the night to do this, as Chaplain Raymond has said several times, he's shooting for where their head should be, and we've got to continue talking about the abatement and continuing forward. For those that don't know much of what we are discussing or not up to that level, I would suggest going over the education tab on republickeepers.org and actually reviewing life, liberty, and property and authority of law. Because those are excellent education courses for anybody, and it's good for those of us that have taken it before to review it several times.
Absolutely.
But our homework that was passed out last week in regards to the abatements, we all need to know and understand basically how to speak that language. And we've got to be able to pick out stuff from this homework and then take that, discuss it if there's something we don't understand to get questions answered. So this is not a call where one person speaks, of course. This is where we're all learning together to rediscover how to self-govern. I hope I've said the words correctly, but anybody want to add something?
I want to add something.
Yes, sir.
The abatement that Chaplain Raymond talked about tonight is a different version than the abatement that's basically talked about in the Book of 100. They both accomplish the same thing, but they are different. So when you look at the Book of 100, and understand what he talked about tonight, understand they're both abatements, but they're a little bit different. You have the floor.
Have we determined which one is the newer version?
The newer version is the one down at the, or the one at the top is the newest version, then they go to the old version at the bottom.
So which one, is the old version the one that we did in the past?
No, the old version was the one partially that we did in the past because we used the sheriff and we used the post office, where the newest version, he wants the people to use their brothers and sisters to deliver them, or to serve them, I should say.
Okay.
But the versions that he talks about are more biblical. The guy that wrote the ones that are in there, he's talking about in the book, strictly tries to get away from man's law, which is why I made the comment to start out with on the Constitution. This guy considers the Constitution man's law, and he considers his version of the abatement God's law.
Okay. All right, everybody. We do have homework for next week. Read that stuff. Hopefully we can discuss this book of hundreds. And there is a section in there. I believe it's section 3. Is that correct, Bill? Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like that is starting, let's see.
Starts at page 1, I believe it's 181.
Okay.
I don't have it up in front of me.
183, all right. All right. I will be sending that out again. If you're not on the email list, you got this information about this call from somebody else, you can send an email to contact@republickkeepers.org. I'll add you to the list to be notified about the upcoming or reminded about the weekly meetings. I'd like to throw this out. Does anybody have a problem with moving this to Monday? Would this be a better time? I know we lose several of key figures on Tuesday nights because of other things. Is there a problem with Monday nights?
I don't have any problem with it.
Okay.
All in favor of Monday night votes. Unmute and say aye if you're all for it.
Well, is there a nay? How about that?
Nay on my part.
Okay, what was the nay?
This is Linda. I wouldn't be able to do a Monday night. But
what about the time frame?
Is there an issue with doing an 8 o'clock? Is 7 o'clock too early?
8 o'clock would be perfect for me.
Okay. Does anybody have an issue with a 7 o'clock? I know, Linda, you have something going on all night on Monday?
Yes, our Monday nights run pretty late.
Okay.
And, but...
I thought y'all had Tuesday nights.
Well, at this point, the Senate situation is still on hold. And so pretty much have Tuesday free, 7 or 8, whatever would work for y'all. And there we go.
Okay. All right.
Chuck, why do you want to change to Monday?
Because there are a few people that had Tuesday nights so that are not here. Let's go ahead and continue on Tuesday nights, but how about bumping it back to 8?
I agree.
That's good. Okay.
All right. Okay, is there any other information or anything else we need to talk about before we close? All right, I want to thank everybody for being here tonight. These are great discussions, even though Chaplain Raymond talked pretty much the whole time. It's a great time to learn, but we do need to, of course, do this ourselves and come back educated, because we can learn a lot more if we know more. Again, thanks, everybody, for being here. Does anybody want to close in prayer? Say a prayer for us?
Chuck, this is Matt. I'd be glad to.
Oh, thanks, Matt.
Okay, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, which is the foundation for wisdom. And we also thank you for the men and women of God that have stood on it over the centuries. And especially in this context, Father, the men and women that have worked with the law so that we could stand on a firm foundation, not only your word, but the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and the common law that was developed because of what the men and women fought for in the revolution of this country. And we ask you to continue to bless us, give us wisdom, and, Father, expand our minds so that we can comprehend this stuff which has been hidden from us for ages. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for that prayer, Matt. And all right, everybody, we'll see y'all.